And so the lectionary today presents to us in the first reading in the gospel text two encounters between God and those he is inviting to be his disciples. We see in the story of Samuel, you remember the story? I assume much. You know the story of Samuel, right? His mom, past the age of normally giving birth, infertile, unable to conceive. She shows up at the temple each year and she cries and weeps and asks God to give her a son. And if you give me a son, I will consecrate him to you and he will be for you for his life. So she conceives Samuel. And at the age of 3, after he is weaned, she brings Samuel to the temple, which at that time was just the tent. And she leaves Samuel there to serve for the rest of his life in the presence of God in the temple. So Samuel, a young boy, with his bed in the temple of God, is awoken. He is awoken by the call of his name. He thinks it's Eli, the old priest. And so he goes to him and wakes him up and says, yeah, you called me 3 times. Until finally, Eli understands that the Lord has been calling him. We see that in this call, it is not simply a call to a job, but a call to an intimacy of life. It says Samuel grew, accompanied by God in his presence. And every word that Samuel spoke as a prophetic word, as a judge, came to pass. It was filled with power because he had intimacy with the Lord. Relationship, fellowship with the Lord. He knew him. He just didn't know about him. Actually knew him. In the gospel text today, we see a little different kind of call. It's funny because John the Baptist points out to his own disciples Jesus when he passes by. Hey guys, you've been wondering who it is, the one that's coming after me, the one who will redeem Israel, the Goel, the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. There he is. And so two of John's disciples, Andrew and the other one, which is probably John, the gospel writer, they didn't really talk about himself. It just talks about the beloved one, the one that Jesus loves. It's probably him. They begin to follow Jesus. We have a modern term for this. It's called creeping. If this was a modern story, they would have seen him and then they would have got on the internet and they'd have been like, Jesus of Nazareth. Well, I don't see anything on his Facebook page. Check Twitter. Does he have a YouTube channel? Does he have a podcast? What the heck? He has no internet presence at all. This is very disturbing. They begin to follow him. Jesus turns around. Can I help you? What are you looking for? And it's so beautiful. They answer his question without really answering his question. Rabbi, which is teacher, where are you staying? This word staying, I should look it up in the Greek between masses because it struck me this morning as I was reading it because it says, where are you staying? And Jesus says, come and you will see. And so they went and stayed with him, or they saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him. Three times it's used. Staying, abiding. There is a Greek word or a Hebrew word, the pitching of the tent and abiding to tabernacle. I wonder if it's that word. But it's significant. Where are you staying? We want to stay where you stay. We want to abide with you. and Jesus extends the invitation, come. It's a very subtle call. What are you looking for? Then come and you will see. They abide with him. This is not an HR moment. Fill out the application. We got an internship this summer. I'm not going to be able to pay you, but you'll get some experience in being a minister. No. It's not an invitation to a job or an internship. It's an invitation to fellowship, to abide, to be with in intimacy. It doesn't take long in this intimacy for Andrew to go and to get his brother, Simon, who in today's gospel, in the Gospel of John, receives his new name, Cephas, Rock, Peter, Petrus. An invitation to fellowship. An invitation to intimacy. We speak of a word called vocation. It comes from its root. It means the calling. What is your calling? The calling on the disciples in the gospel we need to be very clear about today. It is not a calling to priesthood. It is not a calling to religious life. It is a call into baptismal fellowship. Later on, Holy Thursday night, we will see a call on top of a call. We will see in the giving and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as God pours his Holy Spirit upon the church and gives to each accordingly in its giftedness. And we will see structure and calling inside, built upon the call of baptism. The call of sonship, being a beloved daughter and son of God, a call of being incorporated into the body of Christ, to be a part of the fellowship. This is the call that is here in the gospel. And if we don't understand that, then we hear it and we think, oh, Jesus is calling to himself future bishops. I hope Archbishop Nauman read the gospel this morning so that he knows what he needs to do. The call in the gospel today is not to priesthood. The call in the gospel today is to baptismal fellowship and communion. It is the call that they will enter into when they are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When they are washed clean of their sins and they are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why is this important that I distinguish that this morning? Because you can blow it off and you say, Father, I hope you're listening. You see, the problem is that in the church, we don't focus on this vocation. We simply imagine that, you know, because we baptize as infants. And so the call from our baptism is just a given. And so we don't focus on it. When I was in grade school, the Knights of Columbus would always have a vocations poster contest. And we were taught over and over, well, there are four. Priesthood, religious life, married life, and consecrated single. Those are the four vocations. So kids, what are you going to do when you grow up? There's a problem with that. It's incomplete. Because those four vocations rest upon the big one, the big V vocation, the big call that every one of those vocations shares in. And if we don't emphasize that, if we don't call it out, if we don't see it and acknowledge it, then people will greatly struggle to fulfill the other smaller vocations that are built upon it. Those of you who are called to marriage, you don't stop being a beloved son and daughter of God because you're getting married. That vocation is built upon the foundation of your baptism. Just as the call of your baptism requires faith and trust, when you come together, there's an invitation for faith and trust, right? Till death do us part. There's a stepping out there, right? When I was in the seminary and I was talking and discussing with my brothers, and they're like, well, I just wish I knew for sure that I was called to be a priest. I just knew for sure that God would just give me a sign. And I said, your vocation to the priesthood is built upon your foundation of the call of your baptism. There is faith there. You have to make a choice of faith on top of that. You're not going to have absolute surety here when the undergirding foundation requires faith. Faith will be required of every vocation built upon faith. We see in this call a call to fellowship, a call to intimacy, to become someone new. Even Peter receives a new name. There was a guy in seminary. I hope nobody makes the connection, not like anybody that I know from seminary is watching this video, but, you know, he would meet you, and the first thing he would do is give you a name. Now, why would someone do that? Because they don't want to remember your real name. And they want to give you a name depending upon them. And it was like, excuse me, I have a real name. It was given to me by my parents. If you can't remember it, just ask and I will tell it to you. But don't give me some name as if you could name me. Jesus gives Peter a new name. This is the first time they've spoken to each other. Jesus is inviting Peter into a whole new way of being, an identity, a fellowship with him. You notice that this intimate call to fellowship, first and foremost, is not a doing, but a being, an abiding. What is the word? Where do you stay? Where are you staying? It is an abiding and a fellowship. The doing that the apostles will do comes after the fact. After they have spent time abiding with him, being with him in fellowship. I'm making such a big deal about this. Why? Because this is the vocation of all of the baptized, of all of us, of communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ. How do we do this? How do we live this out? Because that's always the question, right? Father gets up here and blah, 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 idea, idea, idea. Oh, that's nice, that's pretty. How do we get concrete? How do we live it out? How do you have fellowship with anyone? In your humanity, how do you have fellowship with them? Do you not choose and consecrate time from your day to be with that person? Back in the day when we used to write letters to each other, you sit down and reread letters from your friend to get to know them. Do we not pick up the telephone and call them? Do we not make excuses to stop by their house? Do we not have invitations for meals together? Do we not take vacations together? Do we not go to destinations together? Pilgrimages together? You know, one of the best things that the Archbishop has been doing with the seminarians, to get to know them, every year he takes a pilgrimage with the seminarians during the summertime. And a bunch of priests are jealous. They're like, oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe the cost of that is ridiculous, blah, 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 this and that. And it's like, yeah, you know, when you were ordained, the bishop never once said your name because he forgot who you were. You tell the story to me all the time about that. He didn't even know your name. and you're complaining that the Archbishop is wanting to travel and to spend 24 hours a day for like 6-7 days with his future priests to get to know them? It's exactly what he should be doing. They're doing fellowship together. He wants to know them. He wants, when they're ordained and they go, you know, this man has accomplished all these things. We call you Archbishop to call him to orders. I'm like, what's his name again? You know, no, he doesn't want that. He wants to actually know them, to have confidence to call them forth. You are not called to a job. You are called to fellowship with Jesus Christ. This is not a weekend warrior kind of thing that you do. Okay, father's got the full-time job. This is a priest, right? Get my paycheck from the church. Cha-ching. I don't know how to do that with like a little sound. It's like, cha-ching, you know. Anyway, it's beside the point. I have everything I need. No worries. God loves me. But you're not weekend warriors. You don't come into the church and say, yep, I did my 1 hour. I get you. Got it done. Weekend job is done. It was even funnier yesterday because I was like, yep, went on Saturday, did my hour, boom, got Sunday off. Yay. You're not weekend warriors. It's not a National Guard. It is an invitation to a new way of life. And we read the second reading today. See, the thing about it is you need to understand, the first reading and the gospel texts are chosen. They are chosen specifically to be brought in relationship to each other in the lectionary. The second reading is on its own cycle. And sometimes it's a hit. Sometimes it's like, boom, it illuminates the other reading. Sometimes it's like, okay, right? Today is very interesting, don't you think? Paul emphasizing that we can't just like imagine that we are moral people in this sphere, and then we can do whatever we want in this sphere. We can do this in our mind, and we can do this with our bodies. We do this with our bodies, but then in our mind, we can think this. Paul's like, that's a bunch of hooey. The reality is that we are fully incorporated. There, I used a business term. Incorporation. We are fully drawn into the body of Christ. Everything of who you are, body, soul, mind, heart, memory, will, everything is being drawn into this redemption and salvation. We cannot compartmentalize our Catholic faith and imagine it's something that I clock in and clock out of. That is not the fellowship that Jesus wants with us. Vocational call of our baptism, my brothers and sisters, is an intimate call to fellowship with God. We must take the time to choose and foster that friendship, that relationship. We must do it. That is your call. And the thing about it is, one last application of what I'm talking about. For the last 10, 15, 20 years, all they've been talking about when it comes to young adult ministry and youth ministry is like, well, we have a vocations crisis. We have to do youth ministry. We have to do young adult ministry because there's a vocations crisis. We're not having these really good, you know, solid Catholic marriages anymore. We're not having young men go to the priesthood. We're not having young men and women go to religious life. We're not having these. What do we need to do? We need to emphasize these things. Wrong. What we need to do is to invite those who have been baptized. This big, this big, this big, this big. We need to invite them to understand that there is a call upon their life now. As a beloved son, as a beloved daughter. We need to show them, as those who have walked before them, how they should enter into fellowship and prayer with the Lord. Disciple it with them. Walk them with it. One of the most beautiful things my dad did, I remember multiple Saturday mornings, I'd be out in the swing swinging, and my dad would walk out the back back door, and the person would say, "All right, Anthony, come on, we're going uptown." I'm like, okay. Jump off the swing, get up there, get in his old truck, start the truck, heading down the road. Hank Williams Sr. playing in the tape. "Old Elijah, he don't know what he meant." I'm like, "Hey, Dad, where are we going?" "We're going to confession." I'm like, "What?" It's like, "Yep, it's been a while since we've gone to confession. We're going to go to confession. We are going to go to confession." "Dad, you're perfect. Why would you need to go to confession?" "Well, clearly my dad's not perfect. My dad, in inviting me..." Oh, shouldn't have brought up my dad. Anyway, "my dad, in inviting me, showing me, this is what you do, son. This is what it means to be mature. This is what it means to enter into fellowship. I'm going to show you. And so we're going to go together." You get to the church, you're like, "Okay, you go first, son." I'm like, "Dad, are you sure you're going to go? You better go after me, you know? You know, I'm going to be watching." We, as the mature and adult Christians in our community, need to look to the younger ones and walk with them and encourage them and recognize and call forth from them that they have a vocation now as beloved sons and daughters, inviting them to be faithful to that now. Not, "You have a vocation now that one day you will know about." No, you have a vocation now as a beloved son, as a beloved daughter. Be faithful to that. Live that out as someone's big brother, someone's little brother, someone's sister, someone's brother, someone's son, someone's daughter. Live it out now. Why is it important that we recognize it now? Because when the time comes later on in life, and the Lord may call them to a little V vocation, something that rests upon the foundation of the baptism, they will be ready to say yes. Why? Because they have been saying yes all along. When we don't call them to maturity or call ourselves to maturity by witnessing to them, then they get to a point and they're like, "Well, I don't know about this God thing. Maybe I'll figure it out after college. Then I'll figure out and see what maybe God wants me to do with my life." In many ways, my brothers and sisters, by then it's too late, because they've already formed the habit of not asking God what he wants them to be living in their life. So, I gave you about 6 points today. Let's summarize and encapsulate so that you can take it as a little bite-sized piece instead of the whole elephant. In your call, you are called to fellowship with the Lord, intimacy, friendship. And that is the call of all of us. We see that in the call of the apostles today. That is your call. That is mine. Two, we emphasize that call and we grow in maturity in it, so that we can encourage the young who already possess that call by their baptism. We try and demonstrate and show to them how they are beloved sons and daughters of God and how to live out that intimacy, to give them good example and encouragement and fellowship along the way. Be encouraged, my brothers and sisters. You are not an employee of Jesus Christ Incorporated that could simply be fired. You are a member of the body, and you are called to fellowship in that.